Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from, and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe, because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
Amen, and thank you, Sadie, so much for that beautiful prayer. Life can be like juggling so many balls. One of the things that we're all aware of is that we started back to worship in June of this year, and then we stopped worshiping in person at the request of our government officials. I know that for many of you, it may seem like we just stopped and nothing was happening. But the church building may be closed, but the offices have been open, the staff have been connecting. And there's been a task force of people who have met on a regular basis with the pastoral staff to be able to wrestle through and figure out how we can reopen in a way that is both safe and intentional. So I'm delighted to let you know that we are going to begin in-person worship again starting next Sunday, August the 16th, both the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock Vine services. Tomorrow you'll be able to log on to the church webpage and register for attending worship. There are also guidelines there. All of our previous protocols are in place, and we'll ask to continue that. Refugio worship will actually begin August the 23rd, giving them one additional week to prepare for the transition as the resources are made available for them to continue their live streaming as well. I want to thank everybody who's been on that reopening task force. They've done a wonderful job of looking through all of the hows and what's necessary. So please consult the webpage and note those details about what's expected and needed of you if you'll join us in worship. These have not been easy times. We are polarized as a culture, society. We have differing needs and differing comfort levels. We feel that following all of the guidelines established by the state of Texas and social distancing and the wearing of masks and continuing live stream worship at both the Vine and the traditional service and Refugio will make worship accessible to all. Our text today in the series, this second week in the Be Still series, comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Oftentimes, when we read brief passages within a text, we fail to look at the context of the text. And so I want to say a few words about the context of this text before we move into the reading of the text. In Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, it is the story of the man confronting Jesus about the most important commandment, which leads into the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this is sort of the turning point in the 10th chapter of Luke. It's a bit of a surprise of what's going on. The Samaritan was not supposed to be the person to be heralded and modeled after life. It's about busyness of going and doing, not just sitting. And then we move now to this text. Chapter 10 of Luke, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Oh God, may your spirit stand between me and your people so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be shaped, formed, and molded into the good news of the gospel of Christ, in whose name we've gathered in various places, in various ways. In whose name we pray, because we all gather under the name of Christ, and in whose name we will seek to serve you faithfully in whatever creative ways in this challenging time that may look like. And all of God's people said, amen. As much a surprise as this text leads into with the Good Samaritan, there are some embedded little surprises that we could miss if we don't really sit at the feet of this text. The first part about this text is we believe they're probably in Bethany. Jesus is going along the way. He's headed to Jerusalem. And the opening part of the text says that they were at Martha's house, that Martha opened her home. Just this one text alone is a bit of a surprise. It's a turn on the ear of what would be expected within culture, because women would not in Jesus' time be known as to be property holders. But when we look at the gospel in Jesus' life and we look at the Apostle Paul, we find that these are amazing times to see the transformative work of Jesus and Paul reaching into the lives of believers, regardless of whether they're men or women, and lifting them up. So we see this opening part of the text played out. Martha is not supposed to be a homeowner, but she is. But in the midst of all this, Martha, the one who had invested so much, the one who was playing the role of hospitality, was distracted. Did you notice that word in the text? Distracted. She's focused on the hospitality. How could that be wrong? I mean, after all, if Jesus came to your house, wouldn't you be busy about everything? I mean, getting things straightened up. You know what it's like when someone calls and says, "Hey, I'm stopping by." Most everybody starts to sort of tidy up things a little bit because someone is stopping by. And this is what Martha was doing. But the unique part about this is she's distracted by all of that. The word in the Greek actually has a root of someone sort of swinging a sword at nothing. It's a busyness. And you and I can be caught in this sense of busyness. You and I can be distracted when Christ comes into our presence. And then we have Mary. And as much as Martha being a homeowner and someone who is practicing the hospitality is a bit of a surprise in this text, so is the surprise about where we find Mary. The text just seems to roll right along, doesn't it? I mean, here's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. No big deal. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. But in the time of Jesus, as Jesus is regarded as a rabbi, it was typically a role only for the males to sit at the feet of the rabbis. So as much as Mary is a surprise in who she is, so is Martha, them both. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, taking a place of instruction and learning. And we can learn three distinct things as we move into this text. First, when we look about the encounter back and forth, and we hear that Martha says, "Jesus, don't you care that I'm doing everything?" It's the same kind of response that the disciples ask Jesus when they're on the Sea of Galilee in the boat and the storm whips up, and the disciples say, "Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care?" Oh, friends, there's times when we probably say that in our minds and hearts and all the brokenness within society and the world around us. "Jesus, don't you really care?" But then Martha goes on to tell Jesus what he ought to do. We shouldn't miss that aspect of the text. It's the same part of our own humanity where we want to tell Jesus how he ought to do things rather than sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. So first, Jesus isn't condemning or demeaning what Martha is doing in her hospitality and busyness. But what he is saying is that Mary has chosen a better way, and what Mary's doing sitting at his feet is most important.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
And we can clearly see that being busy with work should always follow being still. Because if we're just busy, we're busy for busyness' sake. But when we're sitting at the feet of Jesus, we hear best what we should be busy about. It's the difference, my friends, in today's language of church work and being the church at work in the world. You see, it's in being still in the feet of Jesus that we understand who we are and whose we are, and we're able to prioritize what we need to be busy about. But there is both an importance in sitting at the feet of Jesus and being busy in the world. When you pull together the parable of the Good Samaritan and this passage of Mary and Martha and pull them together, you see that we are called to both sit at the feet of Jesus and be still and be active in the world with the love of Christ. Martha represents the life of activity. And we don't need much help in our culture today to be active. We have so many things that keep us busy. But Mary represents the contemplative life, a life that moves to a place of stillness, not just stopping for the sake of stopping, but an intentionality in the stillness in where you place yourself when you choose to be still. Both the active life and this contemplative life are needed. But to choose one over the other, that's a false dichotomy. But to prioritize one over the other is essential. The 4th century bishop of the church, Ambrose, said it this way: virtue does not have a single form. In the example of Martha and Mary, there is added the busy devotion of the one and the devout attention of the other to the Word of God. It's difficult for us to live and work together as a community well when we don't first sit at the feet of Jesus together with intentionality. Because the truth of this scripture is that we will never be able to work our way to the feet of Jesus, but we can sit there. And in those moments of intentionality, we pause, we listen. Listen to the way that Gordon Dahl says it, that I think applies to our lives today. Most middle-class Americans tend to worship their work, to work at their play, and to play at their worship. As a result, their meanings and values are distorted. Their relationships disintegrate faster than they can keep them in repair, and their lifestyles resemble a cast of characters in search of a plot. I love that imagery, that when we simply get the busyness without the intentionality, we're simply busy for busy's sake. You see, the reality of this text is a reminder to you and me that you can't lose your footing when you are on your knees at the feet of Jesus. So my friends, how do we do that with intentionality? We do it with intentionality by prioritizing time to spend in prayer and to open the scriptures and to sit there for a while and to read. It is the better way. And I promise you that when you get back up, the work will still be there for you. So what are the ways that we can engage in this process this week? Here are two questions we want you to think about in your journaling. First, what is distracting you from sitting at the feet of Jesus? What is distracting you from sitting at the feet of Jesus? Secondly, can you think of a time when you were still at the feet of Jesus that was transformational? Can you think of a time when you were still at the feet of Jesus that was transformational? Now, I want to say a word specifically about what I hear and am experiencing, and all of us are as pastors in our culture and world today, and it fits well with this text of Mary and Martha, these differing approaches in the presence of Christ. We are experiencing a polarization within our culture in response to what is the reengagement of school and what we're doing relative to all practices. Some folks are more comfortable wearing masks, as we all should, and moving out and trying to find some degree of normalcy and are comfortable taking some risk in that way. Some individuals are not comfortable at all. What I hope that we will hear is that we are called to be able to love each other in grace, to see these differing ways not as competing but as complementary. And our choice to return to worshiping in person next Sunday is a response to that part of our community that desires to be in human contact following social distancing and the wearing of masks. Our ability to continue our live streaming is a response to stay engaged and accessible to all of those persons who are not comfortable with that. But in both ways, my friends, we are called to be the body of Christ in the world today. And there is one thing we all can do. We can walk together and sit at the feet of Christ. We have a challenge for you this week in addition to those two questions in your journaling time. Our challenge is that you would pray for our teachers and administrators in schools, that you would pray for our parents and students. Bring them also to the feet of Christ. Let them know that you are praying for them. As a church, we have collected every teacher in the humble ISD, and we are writing notes of encouragement to them, letting them know that we are praying for them. You don't have to have that card filled out to do that. You can do that personally. What is a school closest to you that you can lift up those teachers, those students, everybody experiencing all of that process, and lift them up in prayer and let them know that we're praying for them? I want to close today by asking you this question. If nothing else is you can remember, I want you to remember this one question to guide you this week. What is the one thing that Jesus is asking you to do? What is that one thing? There's so much yet to do to bring God's kingdom reign on the earth as we know it is in his design and desire. But if each of us does one thing, the kingdom will become near. Because everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do one thing. Mary has chosen the better way. She is sitting at the feet of Jesus. I pray this week you will take time in prayer and the reading of Scripture to be intentional about stopping the busyness, stopping the frenetic pace, and sitting at the feet of Christ. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks for the ways that you have created us fearfully and wonderfully. Those times when we are called to be engaged and busy like the Good Samaritan, to move from our place of apathy, to be active in the world, to be the builders of your kingdom, to go and to preach the gospel. But God, remind us there's also the importance of the most important thing, which is to sit at the feet of Christ, to still the busyness of the world, to focus with intentionality, to listen to you in prayer and the reading of Scripture, so that when we rise back to our feet, we will best be able to prioritize our time, energy, and resources for what you are calling each of us to do. Well, God, would you help each of this week, each of us, to pause and be able to ask, what is the one thing that you're asking me to do this week, oh God? For some of us, oh God, it may be a small task in the shift of a schedule. For some of us, it may be a monumental thing, but whether it is something you come alongside and help us do, or it is something that we can't do without your very strength to get us through it, God, help us to place that as a priority in our life and our walk with Christ. For this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people did say,